So, going from the top, I'll just explain, first of all, how we got down there, and then, Cassie, I'll bring you in to talk about the actual exhibit itself. So, on July 27th, which is a Friday, we caught the all-night bus down from Tokyo. Here we go.
Never again.
Down to Osaka. And, Richard, you, right? The first time you've ever been on an overnight bus?
Yes.
Now, the one we got down there had some leg space. The one back, not so much. But no. I thought the one down was okay, but you just weren't used to it.
Yeah, so I did not sleep, at all.
Right, fair enough. Well, we caught it down there. We got down there early, and we went to the Tezuka Museum, which is where the cockpit was at. We met up with the Howards.
Wait, you didn't say where?
It's at the Tezuka Museum.
No.
Yes, it was.
Region of Japan.
We've had this discussion, Renato.
I know, because I want you to say it properly.
Hyogo?
God damn you! What is the matter with you? You didn't say that. In Hyogo, it's Kobe, right? It wasn't Kobe, it's Takarazuka. You're like completely insulting the city of Takarazuka. It's not like some backwater, weird-ass, tiny town.
It is a weird-ass, tiny town. They've got a theater that's all women.
Which is internationally famous.
Everyone
knows what Takarazuka is. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen a Takarazuka review?
I actually have not.
By the way, that's near Osaka.
You don't know how weird it is. No, it's weird. I've seen them. They were singing Power Rangers theme once.
I know.
Wait, no, I've seen confusion with Momiro Crovers.
No, I have not.
I've seen recorded stage shows, okay. So I know what it is. But, like, the concept is very, very Japanese, right? And every Japanese person knows what it is. So you just say, went down to Takarazuka, where the museum is.
If you say we went to Takarazuka, everyone would be like, oh, did you see the review?
Who is everyone?
Everyone.
Well, knows what Takarazuka is.
The only one I ever wanted to see is the Ocean's 11 Takarazuka. That kind of looked cool.
That sounds cool, yeah.
But I mean, that would be interesting.
The only one I ever saw was Sakura Taisen.
Nice.
Every other one was...
Sakura Taisen's not as good live without Segata-san Shiro in it.
So next week, Sakura Taisen podcast.
Well, first of all,
readdress it and fix it.
Once we got to Hyogo...
God damn it.
Well, once we got to Osaka, then we had to get to Osaka by bus, and then from Osaka.
How come you call it Osaka and you don't call it like Kansai?
We went
from Tokyo towards Kansai.
Wait, no, Kanto. You have to say from Kanto, not Tokyo.
We live in Kanto, so we took a bus from Tokyo.
This
to
is
Kansai.
All just so you can avoid saying Takarazuka. This pisses me off.
Where our bus, the final destination for that bus was Osaka Station, and from there we took a train to
Hyogo,
which happens to be the home of the Takarazuka Review.
The train stopped at Hyogo Station. Yeah.
Damn you! We stopped at Takarazuka Station.
Thank you very much.
Which is in Hyogo.
Which is just a station. It's not a performing station.
No, there are dancing girls all over, right? Yeah.
So, I don't know the relevance of his whole point here.
So
we got there early in the morning. When left off, we met up with the two Howards.
Who were good enough to get in line a little before us and help us out with our spots. Not that there were that many people there.
No.
But... it wasn't just a museum. That day there was going to be a talk show.
Oh, there was actually a third Macross member. Who was that? Macross World member.
There was.
What was his name? We took pictures with him. Yeah.
Well, hi.
Oh,
thanks for coming.
Yeah. If Howard was here, he would know.
Right.
He was from France, right?
Maybe.
Right, yeah.
I believe he was from France, and he was in... Kansai, wherever he lived, and...
Why can't you... I don't understand, because you don't... Listen.
Renato, shut up.
You don't say...
Shut up.
You
don't
go to Yokohama and say, I went to Kanagawa. Come on, man.
I didn't know exactly where he lived in Kansai. I'm not saying where we met.
He lives somewhere on the planet Earth, alright?
Yeah. We've met in Kyogo.
I just want to know what your aversion to saying the word Takarazuka is.
Because, it's longer than Kyogo.
Okay, moving on.
So there was a kind of a... We got there at least, an hour before it opened?
Right.
And it was kind of hot, because it was still summer, technically. Everyone's waiting in line for the doors to open, so we can go and get the tickets, right?
Yeah.
You had to... If you line up in the morning, you got the signing ticket.
That's
but you
right.
had a call
for the talk show. That was right. Yep.
Right.
And yeah, it was that a tension signing.
And even in Japanese, that apparently wasn't explained clear. Properly or clear.
Yeah, people confused.
And the Macross World member, went early to stand in line to get both the signing ticket and the talk show ticket.
Right.
And he got screwed out right. of the talk show ticket.
Because he hadn't called ahead.
He didn't call ahead. He didn't know that. So when the doors opened, we went in. We picked up our two tickets, and they only gave him the one signing ticket.
Right.
And for him, it was kind of a waste of a day because he wanted the talk show more than anything. So at that point, everyone's running up to the gift store because you have to buy 3,000 yen worth of goods to get a signature.
Right.
So, again, you have to get the ticket.
Well, hang on. Let's take a step back here. So, there's three things within the museum, right? So, there's the display, which includes the cockpit. And on that day, there was also the signing and the talk show. So, to go, first of all, you need your ticket to the museum. You need to call ahead to book your place in line, book your place for the talk show. Then you had to get in line within the first 50 people to get the ticket, the pre-ticket for the autograph. But you needed to buy 3,000 yen worth of merchandise to be eligible, which meant when you bought that 3,000 yen worth of merchandise, you gave that ticket in. They gave you another ticket, which was the signing ticket.
How did we make it through this?
This is why I couldn't go. Thank you. I had to quit my job.
I take donations and tips.
Gwen sorted it all out before we went. We just had to get on the bus.
Right.
Yep.
So. Thank you, Gwen.
And the bus. But yeah, so you just caught the goddamn Shinkansen down, didn't you?
Yes. I went on the bullet train to Osaka.
You suck.
Took the train to Takarazuka. And
Kyogo.
Takarazuka.
Any train to Kyogo.
I was there about an hour before it opened, so as I was walking, there was actually a show going on. And it was like my, you know, there was fans waiting, they were lining. So I was all excited. I thought people were actually going to the museum. They were actually going to the review. So they'll go up. And as you turn to the Tezuka Museum, you see this beautiful phoenix statue. It's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And actually, I actually went to the museum after. I went to the exhibit because why? You're at the freaking Tezuka Museum. Why not?
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that?
You didn't go?
You didn't
I didn't actually.
What the hell's the matter with you?
You didn't look at the Tezuka stuff?
I didn't look at the Tezuka stuff at all.
I did.
Oh my god.
I just... Went straight to the gift shop. We went and had lunch. And...
Wow!
So I had to wait at the doors until they opened.
Okay.
So.
Mhm. That was it. You got in.
I walked straight in. I did purchase my tickets beforehand. And I did both have the Ranka and the Cheryl ticket because I wanted both tickets for.
But not the Alto one.
I didn't get that one.
Which was fan club only from memory, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I wanted to buy both, and I got both tickets. So I go in, and as you go in, and if you look up, there's this beautiful I don't know if it's plastic or stained glass, but it's in the stained glass image. There's all, like, Tezuka characters, and it's very nice. And to your left, there's a pair of stairs that you'd go up, and there's the exhibit. So the first thing you go, when you walk into the exhibit, you see a TV screen, and then you see the chronological order of each show. So it starts from SDF and it ends with, you know, Sayonara no Tsubasa. And it has, on the screen, it has each opening playing. So.
Anybody notice she says it ends at Sayonara no Tsubasa?
Yeah, because it's 2091.
Yeah. We'll get back to that.
So.
Much.
The merch, the weird thing about this was because you had to dash to the merchandise store now. For us, the merchandise store is technically at the end of the exhibit.
Right. It is, yeah.
So we got all our stuff, and then we start kind of walking through the exhibit backwards. And then I came down the stairs and went back around because it was in order.
It was.
Like, there was a structure to the way things were presented.
And you destroyed that structure.
Well,
they destroyed the structure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But merchandise-wise, I mean, they had huge tapestries with that Tengen artwork of the cockpit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I bought one of those.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you did?
They had art cards.
I don't even remember anymore.
They're expensive.
They were expensive.
Wow.
Because I bought that.
It was good.
I bought the Max canister with the little...
The canned bread.
The canned bread.
Yeah. I haven't opened it, actually.
Yeah,
nobody does. I'm sure it's fine.
And then I got the Tezuka Cheryl collaboration art piece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was really cute. And they had a bandana that was cute, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had Cheryl and Ronka with... Who was it? It was Kimba, right?
Ribbon Prince.
Ribbon Prince. Right.
So, it was okay. Okay, merchandise.
Hmm. So, yeah, I grabbed a bunch of art cards and the canned bread. And I bought the poster of the Tengen art. So, it's just a regular, I think, B4 poster.
It is.
Yeah.
B5.
B5, okay. Yeah, it's a nice poster. And, yeah. I used the art card of the cockpit art for the autograph session. So that was cool. But his Max and Wilder and Global pictures were great.
Oh. Yeah. No, they were
I wanted
amazing.
Those as A5 B5 yeah. posters.
Mm, I would like that as a poster. Just yeah. Max's face on my bathroom door.
Why the bathroom?
Because I have a theme. I'll explain another time.
Sitting on the mirror.
You're sitting on the throne. It's like a genius. So when you go in the proper entrance, yeah, they had you go in and they had Global's pipe and a huge print of the art that Tengen did of him in this huge frame, and it was all very kind of serious.
It was.
And then they had the other captain's portraits next to him, which were smaller, and this all led up to in the corner. Then they had the cockpit, but before we get to that, near it they had a helmet. They also had the original album used for shooting the ending of
the TV series.
That's the apparently Kamui's personal collection.
Yeah, it's the original one. It's never been brought out before.
So the one that we saw at the thing,
which you could actually touch.
Was a replica.
Oh, so you couldn't touch this one. Okay.
No, this was under glass, along with like the replicas of the. Of the knife and fork and spoon or whatever.
The permaculture. Yeah, they showed the photograph before the exhibition opened, and somebody said, "Do you know what this is?"
Right. Yeah.
Who was it that was tweeting those photographs?
Barn.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah.
It was the permaculture dish set that Misa cleans up in Do You Remember Love?
Basically, the fork, the spoon, and the water
and the lyrics.
The most important piece that was in there, the letter.
Right. Yeah. And that alone had a sign on it saying "No photographs."
Whoopsies.
Wait a second.
This was
Kettle.
I just said watch out for bounce on it. I didn't take a picture.
Please note that this was catty-corner to the actual cockpit. Like if you're facing the cockpit, like right there's the giant case.
Yeah. Where
the letter
is. As a museum, the place was pretty relatively small, So
there's three stories though.
Right, but there wasn't a huge amount of space to the...
No.
I mean, it's like a corner of a floor, and I apologize for all the mass photos I did take where there was said no photos plastered ever, including the video of the cockpit where it says right there, no video. Right.
Yeah, wasn't the curator or like the head of the museum or something, didn't he take a photo with you?
Yes, actually, well... I can talk about that a little bit later as we go through. I can tell you at the end about the curator. But he was very nice. We'll go talk about that.
I want to save the cockpit till the end of the actual exhibit itself. So then they had... Well,
that's what the planners did, but you went straight to the gift shop.
Exactly. Then they had a room with, I think, pretty much every Valk that Yamato ever made. Pretty much.
Well, that was both Yamato and Bandai.
And Bandai, that's right. Yeah.
And they had the VF1J showing, like, step-by-step transformation.
So I've got to admit...
Were there no step on the... Okay, cut this out. that's not working. Abort joke.
The way they had the Valks in fighter mode framed on the wall, I thought was really cool. It's like, if you ever have a spare Valk laying around, frame it and put it on the wall. It just looks so cool.
It did look cool.
They had them framed in like these kind of
fiberglass boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, with glass on the
front. They're mounted onto a board that has this fiberglass clear box on top of it, and then they're all like lined up.
I want to try to, because you can find those boxes at IKEA. Actually, they do have display boxes like that, so it shouldn't be too hard. But they had probably about 40 of them on the wall.
Yeah, they had a lot. They had pretty much everything, I think.
And that just the long display case, which had them going step by step, was awesome. I took like maybe 15 pictures of that.
I'm trying step by step breakages. It would be my.
It'd be more like a crash site. Like, I think this box has like some of the parts and parts over here.
It'd be like episode 2 of Macross with the arm, with the VF1D with the arm getting shot.
Right. Right.
Kind of like going off frame
on the wall as you turn towards that. Didn't they have the like the hit schematics right there? That poster.
Okay. So yeah, you were talking about next to the cockpit.
Like right when you turn into the Vox, there's like they shed like seat design and
that was right next to the cockpit on the left.
Yeah. Sure,
because
the way the seat was done, like Tengen worked out a lot of new detail.
For right.
Yeah. So shall we get to the cockpit then?
After you get through the Valk,
there's the disco.
And by the way, around the Valks, when there's not Valks on the wall, there was huge, enlarged Tengen art.
There was a poster that I should have received years ago.
Right when you walked in, was a giant, giant Tengen piece.
Yeah,
just right
there. Cockpit. The same one as the poster.
Right.
You walked into the entrance. But then when you got past the actual cockpit, and then the glass display, and then the wall of Valks, and then the transformation scene. Then when you turned around the transformation scene, there was that shot of the original STF-1 and the, you know, Hikaru, Max, and Kakizaki flying over the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Which that
should have belonged to me. That was the poster I won at the raffle. But
that was the cover of the Hasegawa 148th Vermilion team.
And then from there, you go around the corner, and if you hadn't gone to the Parco exhibit, that was basically a, kind of like a half version of what the Parco exhibit was. Mm.
There was a giant disco ball hanging from the ceiling. That's the first thing I saw, and I looked down, and right there, as you turn that corner, there's the Boss Arcatar right there encased. Right. It was,
I love that glass case.
They had life size stand, like cardboard stands of some of the characters.
First it was actually Ishtar. Like if you turn, it was right there. Right. It was Ishtar.
Yeah, they spelled her name wrong
on the video where they show all the scenes, like all the song scenes when it gets to Macross 2. It's all Macross 2, Ishtar.
Ishtar?
Ishtar. Yes.
Ishtar has a pretty mouth.
So they had a life-size cutout of first Ishtar, and they had images from each show, and it had an exclamation in Japanese, of course, under the photos. First it was Ishtar, then it was Cheryl, I believe, and it had her in the white outfit, the sailor, you know. The sailor oven, and they had stuff, Cheryl. And then it had her microphone encased in the glass bubble. Catty corner to that was Ranka's, and they had her microphone. And then they had pictures of Ranka. And then they had a Sharon, and then they had a Sarah, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was very pixelated.
The sorrow was really bad.
It was really bad. Yeah. It was really pixelated, not very much. But the Sharon piece was really neat. I thought that was my favorite of everything. And then they had, of course, Minmay. But then as you turn, they had a TV where they were playing very different songs. They had, you know, major songs from Frontier. They had two. They had Plus. They had Minmay, of course.
They had Seven.
They had Seven, of course. And they had Basara. They didn't have... I don't know why they didn't have Milan, but they had Basara. So... I was kind of hovering around the Basra area for a while because the guitar was there.
Milane's just not the songstress that Basra is.
But there's all women there. I'm just saying, it just would make sense instead of just having one random guy and then all these women.
Random guy.
I mean, he should be there, but I think she also should have been there. But that's just...
Well, it is Tapirazga.
Yes.
It's a women's town.
And then as you turn, they had costumes. They had Minmay, Cheryl, and Raka. So they were very nice. And then as you look on the wall, they had autographs, different autographs from each Seru. And they had a little picture in the top where they had Barrera and Alto, I believe.
Right.
And then you had the gift shop.
So then we get to the cockpit itself.
Yay!
And it was... How do I put this? The cockpit didn't seem like that big of a deal until you got into the details of it, I don't think.
But that's true. Cassie actually saw the first version of it.
Right, with a different door.
They did take...
Oh, they changed it?
They changed a few things after you left.
Really?
Nothing major.
They took your advice, basically.
The door slid out kind of like a drawer,
yeah,
a little bit, and you walk around. It's kind of have a little bit of battle damage paint. It was really nice, the paint job. I was really happy with it.
Yeah,
and then you get inside.
Like, they made some changes to the Valk, and you're saying that the way you got out of the Valk was like a drawer, right?
It was like a drawer, yeah. And as you turn and you sit down, the thruster. I mean, the thruster still moved, right?
Yeah.
And so. They had three separate buttons, and as you look at the screen, they had various different, you know, as you're taking off, you know, standby ready, and as you press the buttons, it's different BGMs in the background, and there's also a giant "do not take video" thing right there.
Do not take video.
Yeah, there were three different videos in there,
yeah,
with sound.
Really?
To them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'll get to later, because that was brought up in the talk show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, the changes that were made were really kind of subtle, except for one. The mechanism to open and close it, apparently it didn't have enough support on the bottom, so some people that were a little too heavy, when they went to pull them out, it was like...
Actually,
they had to reinforce the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that people can make it fun. Thank God they fixed it before I got there.
Actually, I had to turn to the side to get in it. So I'm not, for what it's worth, I'm not a big person. I'm pretty normal sized.
So that wasn't so much of a change as just they reinforced it. And, you know, like the one lever on the thrust lever, the throttle level moved. Mm-hmm. Well, the actual...
transformation.
Well, not transformation level, but the one on your right.
Right.
The version you went to, they made it. It was actually just.
It was just
stationary.
It was stationary.
Stationary, doing, and yeah, it was pointing like 90 degrees up.
Right.
And even when I saw it, I'm like, "That's wrong. It's supposed to be at an angle, or you're supposed to be able to move it."
Right.
Like,
it was
kind of should be on rotating.
I actually tried to move it, and it wouldn't move. So
if Renato had have touched it.
So they went in there and they replaced it, and they put it on kind of a ball joint, so you could actually kind of move it.
Oh,
and
good,
it was
good,
more
good.
At an angle now.
Okay.
And the only other thing is they put like a pinstripe over the canopy, the middle part, which was supposed to be where the canopy connects, the front and back.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put some pinstriping to make it look like there was a canopy actually connecting to it.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, they didn't have that.
And that really tied in with the app they released later, where there were two places on the floor marked out, where if you had your picture taken from either of those two places, the app, free to download app they released later on, would superimpose the rest of the Valkyrie over the top.
Mm.
But the problem was they hadn't even... I think they mentioned it, but no one knew
what
it was going to be.
They mentioned it, but it hadn't been finished.
Like, they just said, take your pictures here and here, and no one really knew why. And then when... Yeah, it was just really unclear, but when the app did come out, it did look like the glass of the canopy.
And there is a great picture of Gwyn piloting the Valkyrie through space, launching a whole bunch of missiles, but he looks entirely confused by what he's doing.
But then
he's just kind of like pressing a button like, what does this do?
I have a question.
Damn you, Kotaku.
When we went to the Parco exhibit, we saw some of the original line art really up close.
Yeah.
And the controls for the thruster had several settings written, right?
Right.
Yes, reverse.
Yeah, reverse. Did you put it in reverse?
No.
Oh, no. So did it say reverse?
This is the most disappointed I've seen Renato look all day.
This is supposed to be a real Valkyrie.
Well, it didn't even have the... Like, the thruster didn't even have the finger... The finger buttons to control the hands.
No, I will get into... I will get into how the cockpit was made. Because it did have... there was a lot about that that I heard.
Yeah. I was expecting the feet pieces at the bottom.
Okay.
They did not. They did not have the pedals, if you noticed.
All right.
How are they going to get around?
If there was those pedals maybe I wouldn't have fit.
It was cramped.
Maybe it's like a Fred Flintstone. You can get something done. But...
And then immediately to the, the right of it was the helmet.
Right, yeah. Right.
And I didn't know if you want to talk about the video.
There were three short videos on there which were done in collaboration with Satellite and had some voice work on them in English, if you could hear them.
Right.
Because the sound was turned down quite low.
For our... That was only turned down the day we went.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. You were so loud.
Because they were going to do the photo op and stuff.
I was too much geeking out over the English, so...
Right, yeah. And I didn't know we couldn't... You know, it was turned down. It was a shame. But, those... I mean, the three clips are really tiny. It was something different. I mean, I would have loved them to put an Oculus Rift in there and have a 3D... thing. Yeah,
But the museum overall, I mean, it was good, but it was small.
Very small.
But always...
And a lot of the stuff, as Adrian said, we saw before.
Well, basically the final third. Although we hadn't seen... Did they have the mics at Parker? They didn't have the mics.
I don't think that... No, they didn't have the mics.
I think they did. I think the mics... I don't think they did.
Oh, I failed to mention they also had Meme's mic, too.
Right.
I forgot to mention
that.
They had all three.
So shall I...
They didn't have any of those little swans that Firebomber used, though.
They're cool. I think they'd been... But they had the guitar, so they, you know...
Alright, so shall I talk about the talk show?
No, I gotta tell my story.
Oh, which one?
Really quick. So, when it opened, we all run upstairs to go buy 3,000 yen worth of stuff so we can go to the signing event and the talk show.
Uh-huh.
But then the guy from France, at that point, was kind of like, I'm not gonna buy anything because he wanted to go to the talk show and... Yeah, he didn't want to spend the whole day there and just go to the signing.
Right, I remember this now.
Yeah, so like, I was just kind of like, screw it.
I gave him a big pep talk.
Yeah, because he was going to just go. He wasn't going to stay. He didn't want to wait six, it was like 5 hour wait.
We had a long wait, yeah.
He didn't want to wait the day just to stand in line for a signing because he really wanted to go to the talk show. So at that point, I'm like, well, there's really no point in me going to talk show because I'll probably talk to Tenjin about it next week anyways. So
and it I was Tenjin that was speaking at the talk show.
Look how nice you are.
It was Tenjin's kind of first talk show that he was hosting on his own.
Right.
And regarding Macross for an event.
This, by the way, was kind of a point for me because I wasn't sure if I wanted to go when he first proposed that we were going to go to Hyogo. I was like, well, we're going to hear Tenjin speak and see a museum exhibit, which is probably mostly stuff we've already seen. And do I really want to spend all this money to do that?
Yeah.
In the end, I'm glad I did.
Yeah, because it was more like, there was reasons to go and there was enough reasons to go by bus.
Yeah,
because it was the cheapest way to go.
Right.
So, and we were kind of given a heads up, like, you should go at this time.
Yeah, because we were initially going, worked out that we were going to go at the same time that Cassie was.
Yeah,
right.
And then Gwyn got an anonymous tip saying, psst, you might want, you might want to wait.
So a fire will break out in the concert hall.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the heads up, guys, by the way, because I would have scheduled my trip.
No, but he got that after you had already booked your ticket. Yeah. And everything.
It was just more like, I advise you not to go until this time.
Right. We had no idea. And it was kind of like,
well, why? Just a smile. Like, okay. So at that point, I was just like, oh, this guy, because he's not living in Japan teaching. I don't think. I think he's just here on working holiday or something. Mm. So I was like, well, I gave him my ticket, so he was able to go.
That's so sweet.
So we all just bought our shit, walked through the exhibit, and then we all got hungry.
So we did the trip, got food.
We came back in time for the talk show, and everyone's queuing up. And I give the guy my ticket, like, here, have fun, whatever. Everyone goes in, and at that point, I'm like, well, I'm just going to stand around here. And it was a good thing that, because at that point, I could have walked around the museum because I had at least an hour not to do anything. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to hang out here. And then there's another guy hanging next to me and some other guy there. And then as they were putting everyone in, a lady came out and like, oh, did you want to get in the talk show? And the guy was like, yes, can you get me in? Oh, I think we can get in one more person. So that guy goes in. I'm just standing there. Lady comes back out. Do you want to go to the talk show? I'm like, sure. So I got in like 1 minute before it started.
Right.
And luckily, I sat nowhere near these guys.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. We will get to that.
I was way off in the back corner.
Oh, we'll get to that. Oh, God, I had forgotten completely about this part.
You're about to be reminded.
Yes, I know.
They were pretty much... Where were you guys at?
We were center towards the back.
Yeah, we had pretty good seats.
Yeah. And I was all the way to the right of them.
And you didn't know.
One row over in the back, next to the wall.
So, basically, Tenjin was due to give this talk. And he came in, and he's like, you know... Oh, he came in wearing shoulder pads. Wearing the Do You Remember Love shoulder pads, which he'd commissioned himself and overseen himself on his own money.
And he came in walking like a robot for some reason. He was like, kind of like, you know, like doing this kind of robot strut.
Apparently,
thing.
They weighed heavy. Like, what?
I think it was like seven, was it seven? No, it was one.
But
Adrian, you're a solid resin.
Yeah, wow. They weighed a ton. That's why.
But Adrian, you had talked to him the week before.
Mm.
And you told me that. Like, and this was before the talk show. Adrian was like, yeah, I talked to Tenjin last week, and he said he has no idea what he's going to be talking about.
Yeah, that was the other thing I said. So what are you going to talk about? I have no idea.
Well, the man's busy.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of stuff at that time, because, I mean, he'd already
he was overseeing the cockpit.
Doing the cockpit. But there was already that break, and I forgot what he was working on at the time. I think he was doing the box art for the band, though.
So we're about to see the greatest... Saving Tenjin's ass. Ever.
Right. And you think about it, what? He's walked in, he's distracted everyone with these shoulder pads, sits down, is like, well, we have a special guest. And literally, in an almost Kramer like entrance, Kawamori himself comes slamming through the doors. He's just, this is the peppiest, happiest, most active I've seen him. Keeping in mind, he'd just gotten off a plane the day before from Comic-Con.
Yeah, he went to San Diego Comic-Con. Yes. He just got back, not even
and 3 days wearing before. A pair of Wrangler jeans that he must have bought in Southern California.
And, like, he'd come down because this was the one time he had some free time. He wanted to see the cockpit. He hadn't seen it yet. And Tenjin said, well, help me out, boss. And so he came in and pretty much talked for... Of the actual talk show part, removing the Q&A section, he probably spoke for 80% of it. I am currently doing a complete write-up of the talk show, but I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. So, what I'm going to say here is not the order in which things were said. I've kind of grouped things into themes. But the one overriding theme about the talk show, and I've got to reiterate, Kyle Mori was in this amazing mood. He was happy. And the great thing
he'd just been to Southern California. Who wouldn't be?
Okay, so he was in a really good mood. And the overall theme was basically how he was, even today, learning more and more about his own original design of the VF-1. Because when you try to make something life-size in real life, you learn a lot more about the design than you ever do on paper. And I thought that was really interesting. And right around that time, I had been to a talk show by Miyatake for Yamato 2199. And it was funny because one of the first things Kawamori did was bring up Miyatake. And it's like, well, when designing mecha, Miyatake always used to say the rule was the inside of the mecha is 2 times the space of the outside. Because he's like, look at the Yamato. You're never going to fit all that space that was in the original Yamato. They've got like a ballroom in there. It's like, so
the wriggle, look at the wriggle.
Exactly. Row. So as a general rule, the inside space from a design standpoint, like you can draw the detail and draw the line art you want, but when you're actually doing an animated scene, the inside is 2 times. But of course, in the case of Valkyrie, that would stand out a bit much. So he tends to go by the rule of thumb of 1.5.
And in the case of Clan, make it 5 times.
Certain parts. So you say 1.5 times. And this is how, the cockpit always looks so much bigger than it did in reality when you actually had to sit in it and it had to fit within the dimensions of the outside of the plane. And I thought that was really interesting, although it did make me think, in Basara's case, it must be like 3 times, because how do you jam a guitar into that cockpit?
Right.
I was actually thinking, I don't know if they're going to have this exhibition anywhere else, but I was thinking of going at some point. And if I was to sit in there, I would take my guitar in there and try and fit it in there somehow.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. That's how I would take my photograph.
So Tengen oversaw this, the whole cockpit, right? And there were several things in this talk show that they requested people to not put up online. I'm not writing this in an article, so I may repeat some of them here, but they approached the company to put the cockpit together, which is based in Kansai, and he was like, okay, look, it's a different group to who did the 25.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, okay, so I want you to do this. And, yep, we can do it, no worries. Okay, so do you want, any materials? No, we can handle it. This is a cinch. He's like, the 25 was pretty hard. And like, no, leave it to us.
The 25, they couldn't even do it. Yeah.
So
isn't that why they went with a different company in the first place? Makes sense to me.
I don't know. I don't know why they went with a different company. But anyway, these guys got back to them, and Tangens was like, doesn't look anything like it.
Yeah.
It's a point that he was like, this looks like something. Are you making this to go on the roof of a department building? In other words, like on a Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
Because they have these Ferris wheels on the tops of department stalls over here. And, they're like, okay, we'll fix it. And they did something and they got back to him with a picture and it's like, it's still wrong. He's like, they just had this huge amount of confidence in what they could do. And he's like, no, we need more detail here. We need weathering here. It's like, this in the cockpit doesn't move. The door doesn't work properly. And they just went over and over to the point that, as Adrian, you were saying, they were doing revisions to it even after it was on display. And when he was saying, he's like, this was just crazy. It was madness. Like, this, it wasn't right. And Kawamori looks at him, he's like, thrilling, desu. Which is half of an Isamu line, but still enough of an Isamu line to make me laugh. But the English
translation of that is, did you say faster?
Yeah. But the one thing Tenjin brought up, which actually I do want to clarify with him, but the interesting thing was, when it came to putting the cockpit together, there is no 100% accurate, detailed CAD data. So with the 25, they had the complete design digital, so they could at least put the parts, make the separate parts and work out how to get them together and then add the detail. But in this case, a lot of stuff, the way it's in line art is in a way that then when you try and see it, no one would fit. Or the space in behind the seat, the proportions change depending on what iteration you looked at.
So it's a lot of trial and error.
A lot of trial and error. He had to redesign a lot of the inside of how the cockpit worked. Yeah. And he was saying that this was really the problem because they were looking at it from the outside by eye and not thinking of how it worked. So I thought it was really interesting. And he did point out, though, that as a mecha designer, more of Kawamori's designs have been made in one-to-one scale than probably any other designer. Which I thought was interesting, because apparently they did a really large gunhead replica at one point.
Oh, they did. That was long. Yeah. That was out in, I think it was like Shinjuku
Well,
East Exit?
I guess the one that they made for the movie counts, yeah, too, doesn't it?
You know, where was, you know, when you go to Shinjuku and there's that section when you go towards Alta? Uh-huh. Off to, when you're going towards Alta and off to the right when you come up from the subway.
Like the little island? Mm-hmm.
The little island, and yeah, they'll put, like, they've had, that, like, yeah, Monster, yeah, Hunter stuff there.
Yeah,
that always,
yeah,
spot, yeah, that spot's always for that kind of stuff. And there's old pictures of this huge gunhead.
Hey, they've got Ghost in the Shell Arise stuff there now, don't they?
Yeah, oh, they're doing that as well, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, there's a gunhead, there's a 25, there's another cockpit. I'm not sure what else there's been, but you're saying...
There was the Nissan car. The
Nissan car, yeah,
Nissan,
yeah,
car. There was a
Nissan robot.
The robot, yeah,
doesn't look like a transformer.
And it was actually like, right, I remember looked that, like it was like,
it was a TV commercial. Right?
Did you know, yeah, the commercial? Yeah, it transforms and it goes like kind of skates on the side of
it's
a building.
Building, right?
Yeah. So they actually put it on the side of a building.
Okay,
yeah, and it's was, fixed pose.
Yeah,
so and they had a Oshikiri Moya, I think, posing next to it.
Okay,
you know who that is? She's a really famous model.
Okay,
like mainstream model, not like Aya Endo or people like that.
Because she's nothing like Endo.
No, she is not.
Yeah. She, well, I mean,
agree there.
I they're probably both married, so they got something in common.
Asshole.
Yeah, but only I Endo denied me an FB7 poster.
Here we go. So, and it was funny because that comment, you know, Tenjin was like, "Well, now that with all these newer designs, we've got CAD data for everything. It's like I know that I can just leave it to Tenjin." He can make sure he's like, eventually I want to see everything done one-to-one intentions. Just like, he's like, yeah, that's gonna be a lot of work, but going through the process of putting the cockpit into one-to-one, the kind of things they were coming across was, for example, a real cockpit for a plane is a lot smaller and narrower than,
yeah,
than the seat is tiny than it looks in animation, where it looks like you've got a car seat pretty much,
right?
And he was like, you realize that Fokker would in no way fit in this,
right,
plane.
Right, right.
Well, especially since, like...
2 meters and 10 centimeters.
Fokker is, like...
Over 2 meters tall.
Yeah, exactly. He's, like, 7 feet tall.
Right. And which I thought was really interesting. That brought up the issue of the canopy, because there was no canopy on this, because they looked into doing an actual canopy. And the price of doing the bubble canopy, like, properly, you could buy a Mercedes-Benz for the price of,
yeah,
what just for that exhibit. And... they looked into a few different options, but it's like it was really difficult to do. And if they did that rather than add it in afterwards in an application like they did, you know, you take pictures, you'd be getting flash reflections and stuff. It's like it luckily worked out better without it being on there, right, but it would have cost a lot of money. And looking into the design and how canopies worked as part of putting this together, it's like you do realize that you can't turn your head in the cockpit wearing one of those helmets. You're just smashing your head up against the glass.
Yeah.
And Kawamori was like, well, that's actually one of the reasons we made the helmets have a smaller profile in Macross Plus, because they had scenes with Isamu looking around.
Yeah.
And he did talk about a little bit about how the helmet was designed by Mikimoto, but he didn't have the huge pointy bit in the front, and how Kawamori putting style over functionality kind of drew that out.
Right.
And that brought up the fact that actually the shoulder pads as well would not fit in his cockpit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
the shoulder pads the tension was wearing.
Yeah, it's funny because we tend to think of Do You Remember Love as the more
realistic,
more hardcore, more realistic, more technical designs. Everything is more detailed up. But yeah, a lot of things in there, design-wise, don't really make much sense, and they're less functional than the original show.
Which I thought was interesting. It's like, well, that's why it's a bubble canopy, because it comes out the sides and fit your shoulder pads in.
You gotta remember, the flight suits also have like jetpacks on them.
Right.
This is an often forgotten detail. The canopy shape is very, very, very slightly different between the TV show and the movie.
Mm.
Yeah. Because of that.
Because of shoulder pads.
The outward shape. Yeah, because of shoulder pads. Probably.
But I mean, if you look at other things they brought up were things like, if you're looking at the line art for a Valkyrie of this age, which they don't have CAD data, and having said that, I was thinking, but what about all the games they've done? They're like, for example, look at the Fire Valk in that music video we talked about the other podcast, where they look like they'd use the toy data and brush it up.
Yeah.
What you're claiming?
No, you saw it.
Either way, there are. I'm sure there are CG
you
models.
Slip that in there, or so you claim. Screw you.
So, well, putting your
you stay here.
Putting your rather radical
God damn you.
assumptions aside, Renato, I suppose what he was saying was that there wasn't anything which had a lot of detail on the inside. But I'm sure there were, you know, overall CG models. Yeah. But things like, if you look at line art, a 1mm bit in that design, when you blow it up to 1-to-1 size, is like a couple, can be 6cm or something. Yeah. So suddenly you've got all this dead space, which didn't look like dead space. And then when you get to things like panel lines, like everyone who loves the Valks is really, you know, meticulous about panel lines. In reality, you don't have enough space in between the panels to actually get any kind of marker in there. So the panel lines wouldn't really look like that. You know? And they did all this research on how to do like the weathering and things like that. And it said they actually went out to the Japanese Defense Force and went to look at some of their planes.
Okay.
Useless. Because they don't use them. And as a result, the planes are so clean. It was like looking at a CG model, pretty much. It was like, yeah, this isn't how these things should look. Whereas planes in use, you know, you get little dents and stuff all over them from service and the weathering and whatnot. They did a lot of research for things like that, and they did point out that unlike the 1-to-1 core fighter from Gundam, which they have now in Odaiba, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at that, that's got some great... The interior of the cockpit's not that great, but the...
No, the interior of the cockpit is great. The whole thing is great, but the whole thing is wrecked because it's the end of Gundam 3.
But it's really well weathered, and the reason they could get away with that is because people aren't touching it. Whereas, like, for something you get into and people can touch and walk around, there were restrictions on what they could do with things like that. So they went to a fair bit of detail on how they designed it. And then Tenjin talked a little bit about the satellite, helped him out with the movies. And then that sound work, he actually ended up putting most of that together himself. Like, he had an acquaintance who was an English voice actor record it. He got some music tracks, and he pretty much, in the sake of time, put it together himself.
Was like there anyone who helped with the English for that track? I'm just curious. I'm not asking a leading question.
He's just curious.
I think we looked it over.
I think English was
just say we did that. I mean, we just made sure it made sense in English. Does that sound all right? Like, you know, we just looked over it. We were just asked, "Can you look it over?" And we said, "Oh, yeah, that's good. Maybe this word would seem a little better." But I mean, it was just something like you didn't even hear it. So
yeah, well, we So people ask me why I look so serious in that picture that could be on Kotaku. I'm trying to hear the damn audio. But so he spoke a little bit about that, and then he and Kawamori discussed the original design in it. It's like, what, 14 meters in length or so, the original. And the reason for that was because at the time,
almost 15,
he didn't want it to be the size, similar size in size to any other mecha that was out. And if you have gone like a regular jet fighter, like more like 16 meters, when it transformed, it'd pretty much be a Gundam in size.
Right.
And he's like, that was just no. So he made it the size it was to kind of get away from looking like other people's
mecha. Because the VF1 is much smaller than an F-14.
Right. And that kind of led into this discussion on how, as a designer, you know, he always looks at basically designing a Valkyrie that would more or less fly. You know, basically looking at it with basic aerodynamics, it would fly. But he's like, you get to a point where you have to turn that part of your brain off, because otherwise you'll get so
into a robot.
Well, that is like, or otherwise you get so into whether it will fly or not that you go into this trying to make it too realistic. It kind of stands out too much against the world you're creating within the animation.
Right.
And that he likes to put, you know, style over, or form over practicality, form over function. And so he gets to a point where he has to turn that practicality off and look at what's cool, hence the helmets, which I thought was really interesting.
Which is a question that I always had about, like, people who are really, really into the mecha, like, into the technical specs of the mecha, is that where does it end? Where does the reality of it turn into fantasy?
When it becomes a giant robot.
Well, yeah.
Or when you pilot with a guitar.
That's totally realistic, though.
They also did mention, yeah, Ronaldo, the photo album that was in the in the exhibit, and they did say it was the original one, and that the way those pictures were made, literally, they were just pictures that Kyle Moore had taken, and Mickey Mortal just drew pictures of Min-May.
Yeah.
And then they just cut and paste them on top. They weren't really trying to make any specific scene or effect. And that shot where the album is, I'm sure you know this. This is a fairly famous story. There's a helmet there.
Yeah.
And they borrowed that from Leiji Matsumoto. So it was his helmet, which is
an old World War II helmet.
Yeah.
And nobody knows who the guy who's turning the pages is.
Right. That's right.
Tatsunoko
employee. Right.
But is it a guy or is it a lady? I heard it was a lady.
I thought it was a lady because the hand. If you look at the hand, it's very very feminine hand.
Okay.
But you don't see much of it. You only see like a smidge of the hand as it goes by.
And there are a few unmentionables brought up during this talk show. Tenjin did mention.
Well, I thought it was funny how he brought up current event.
I'll get there, yeah. Well, there was a mention of, like, speaking of designs and CAD designs, Bandai did work on something recently, and there's a lot we'd like to say about that. But we're not going to change the subject right now. You remember how we spoke about the...
How can I forget?
Yeah. but then, yes, Tenjin brought up the fact that, hey, wasn't someone getting sued over Jetfire?
Oh, yeah.
Over a Transformer, and it was one of us who shouted out Jetfire.
But they forgot the name.
They forgot the name until...
The news of the lawsuit was, what, not even 24 hours... So the news went out that there was the lawsuit, Harmony Gold versus... Harmony Gold goes, you know, versus... Harmony Gold sent the letter, legal letter, to
Hasbro.
And so Kyle Moore just got off the plane 2 days prior to the event. So within that time, like, Tenjin knew about it. And that was like his leading question, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't the leading question. It was,
thanks for coming here. Hey, does anyone remember Jetfire? Everyone was like, what?
No, it was about 8 minutes in.
About eight minutes in?
Yeah.
It's just such a bizarre thing to bring up.
We
know about it, but...
He didn't.
Well, Kyle Moore didn't know.
Well,
that.
How would you say he brought it up?
No, he didn't mention
any companies or anything.
No, they were talking about how, wow, you've been designed for 30 years. We've gone from the 1 to the 30. It's like, yep, 30 years. 30 years on, and, you know, there's a legal case going on about that Transformer. And Kyle Moore's like, what? It's like, yeah, the Transformer, what's its name? And then Howard at the back was like,
Jetfire!
And he's like, yeah, Jetfire. And like, then Kyle Moore's like, yeah.
It would have been great if Tenjin had said, Jetobomba.
So anyway, Kyle Moore was like, oh, yeah, actually, I saw something at Comic-Con, which was, you know, what was being referred to. He's like,
yeah.
I saw it, I had a look at it, and he's like...
Looks familiar.
It's like, this looks familiar. He's like, it's a jet with fast packs on it. Everyone's like, kind of cracking up at this point. And he's like, yeah, it looked basically like a 1J color scheme. And... He's like, oh, I look close to it. Something was just wrong. He's like, there's fastpacks on. And I realize it's just a regular F-14 that they've just strapped fastpacks to.
Yeah.
And they're like, Transformers and G.I. Joe, 30 years after. Like, congratulations. like, everyone was just cracking up.
This is what I don't get. Who is everyone? Because...
Like, the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the audience doesn't know what... G.I. Joe is.
But the fact that people are doing this 30 years after.
Okay.
Well, you have the
I thought it would have been funny for people who are in on the joke.
Well, the number one Macross fan was there, so he knew about it.
Oh, he did?
And then, also, didn't he say that it looked like something made in China?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, this all the time. They kind of, come out of China.
Oh, the carded bootlegs.
Yes, exactly.
Well, more power to them.
So look, to wrap up the talk show, we had Q&A, and I need a drink before
and
I talk about
leading up to that Q&A, because, you know, I'm always holding the Macross 2 banner wherever I go, going back to the thing of the timeline I was missing, I kept on saying, like, I'm so upset that they're not showing Macross 2 in the timeline, this is a travesty, and they should answer to this, and I'm going to see to it But they do.
You're gonna see two.
And of course, and, you're talking, like half joking.
And I'm half joking because it's just a joke, right? You know, because you know, I do love Macross too, but it's a joke.
You really, you do?
Yeah, but
it's also a half joke from my end, at least, yeah. because I kind of like Macross too. So,
so at you know, at every turn, whenever I can, I bring it up. But don't talk bad about Macross too. How dare you? And because this timeline, it's missing. But then you go towards the end of the exhibit, and there's like all these Ishtar pictures and a life-size Ishtar. It's like, well, make up your mind. And as I'm doing that, I guess Howard's kind of just like, something needs to be done. And
the wheels are turning.
And the wheels are turning in Howard. Oh, God. And Howard. So we get to this Q&A, and of course, usual Japanese Q&A, people really don't ask questions. And if they do, they're not so interesting. I'll let you go from there.
Well, so, no, we the Q&A had a couple of standouts. Like, the first guy who got picked is hilarious because he's like, Tenzin was like, okay, you, and the guy's like, this isn't a question, it's kind of a request. It's like, it's a what? He's like, so if you are going to be doing more one-to-ones, can you do a regard?
Yeah. That's almost a ridiculous.
And people are just laughing. He's like, you remember what we said about two times the size on the inside, right? Do you have any idea how big? Yeah. Like, that would be... It would be easy to make a mock-up of the inside of a realistic tank.
Yeah.
You know, than a regard. So people were laughing. And before I get to the big one, there was one question raised about future Macross productions. And Kawamori did actually say that the hardest thing with making more Macross is the three pillars of Macross.
Mm. He's like, you have to adhere to these three
pillars. That you've,
the love triangle, and the space opera.
No, the love triangle, transforming the maker, and
music.
Music. He's like, he said, even with the Vajra in Frontier, the reason, one of the reasons they went with something so alien was to give some sort of suspense to the story, because otherwise you just know out the gate, oh, they got no culture and the music will win somehow. Yeah. He's like, but they've done the Vajra now, and the thing is, how do you mix these three elements in a way that just isn't glaringly obvious what's going to happen? How do you keep it new? He said, if he could cut one element, if he could just mix any two of those in any way he wanted, he's like, you can make as many new Macross as you wanted.
Why can't he?
Because he's, that's his rule. He wants to do, you've got to have all three elements in some mix.
That's is just, that his rule, or is that
him.
Bandai's
that's
rule?
Him.
Because...
No, it's him.
Are you sure?
Yeah. That's him.
I've heard many, many Western fans saying, man, if you just cut out this damn J-pop, this show would be great.
Yeah, make it a Destroid pilot.
No, yes.
Make it a gritty story about, life in the barracks or something. I don't know.
That would sell really well.
No, it will, because it would be boys' love.
That's there you one go. Way they can do it. That's they it. Actually cross that
threshold.
That threshold.
Do a boys love one, like just full on.
But I thought it was interesting that he was actually saying what I suspected, that it was difficult to get these elements in a way that they could do another sequel. Part of me wanted to ask, well, why don't you give someone else the reins to do something which doesn't have all three elements and you make it non-canon or whatever you want to call it? Which brings us to... Yeah. So basically, Howard got picked for a question, and he started off by name dropping the Gaijin Butai, which is a Chia thing, not a Kawamori thing.
Right.
I won't go there.
Wait, what? Teasing stuff and then saying.
Wait for now, I'll get there. And right. So basically, he was like, well, some members of the Gaijin Butai. You can see, you know, I think Tenjin gets the joke. I think Kawamori
was
like,
who? What?
it's not even really a Chia thing. It's a Macross.
No, Chia knows about it.
Okay,
she's talking to me about it. Does she, you know, post? I can see the Gaijin Putai from the stage.
Okay,
and Howard was, you know, he said, well, basically, we're wondering, you know, where's Macross 2 here? It's like, where does this fit into everything? Because we were thinking it could be in the future. Because you know, you're saying, Renato, the exhibit was set. After Frontier, I think, was it? So either way,
the exhibit was sent after Frontier.
Like they didn't have Macross 2 on the timeline, then, no. Right? Did they?
But the museum, you're supposed to be going to the museum in the actual.
All of the plaques were like in the 2060s.
Right.
Alright, so that is why we hadn't gotten up to Macross 2 yet. So, you know, the theory that
did
it could have happened...
Did you actually talk about... Did you describe it that way?
That's what Howard said, yes.
No, I mean, did you describe it that way during this podcast?
Not really,
museum,
no.
The museum is a museum in...
In the future. Right. Yeah, we did not say that.
Well, it's just like... Yeah. Was it the Parco exhibit?
The Mega Road one.
Yeah, the Mega Road one. You were boarding the Mega Road.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Because I didn't know that either.
And
until you just mentioned it.
So, basically, it's like, yeah, we think Macross 2 maybe hasn't happened yet. So, where does it fit in all this? And Kawamori... all right. He said what he always says. He says what he always says, which is all you know. The whole world. There are many ways that World War II's been brought to film.
And like, Howard said, "No, not this time, Cowboy."
Wait. He's like, how he says that everything in Macross is fictional within the universe.
Yes.
He changed how he said that. He's like, no, everything in this universe, everything is from is a different fictional creation. Essentially, they're all parallel worlds.
Yeah.
Or parallel stories.
Well,
which means Macross 2, A, it isn't a part of things, but nothing is a part of things, so it might as well be a part of everything else, because everything has the same status. There's the same basic facts, but, you know, you can say that these are all interpretations, or you can say that there's 100 parallel worlds all going forward.
Can I ask... I want to clarify. Was Howard's question, what about the canonicity of Macross 2, or was it, when are we going to see more Macross 2 products, goddammit?
No, he's like, where does it fit in the timeline?
That was it?
With an explanation
I'm of the opinion of, who cares about that? Like, Adrian would like to see more, stuff. Model kits and toys and stuff, and product, right?
Would you, Adrian?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, of course. But everything is in different interpretation or different fiction, then...
Well, no, how
judging
it should
from
be
the last, judging from the last week on the Macross World forums, canonicity is still a strong issue.
It's like shipping wars from
Macross. Yes. That's what it is.
Yes.
That's the nail in the head right there.
Shipping wars.
Well, yeah, the thing is, Renato, I know that...
Mega Road is also a hot issue.
Over the course of the 30th anniversary, Macross 2 has been included more and more in these events, in these exhibits. I mean, heck, even Kanoyoko plays it on the piano now. Yeah.
No, it's less and less, because Hiroko Kazahara went to the 2009 gig.
Don't rub it in.
But they had a taco, they had it here...
All of the timelines are including it now, and they are not saying that it's a parallel story.
So
that's what I said.
But he said no. They're not saying outright that it's parallel anymore. So the way he's getting around
saying everything is parallel.
Well, given the date, and now that we have a firm date for Frontier and Macross 30 in 2060, it's like, well, it doesn't happen for 30 years yet, so it could happen, right? It could be, it can fit in, right? And so where is it in the timeline? Kawamori kind of just came back, and instead of saying it's all just fiction, it's like, well, they're all just really parallel stories, parallel worlds.
That's why we need Katsuragi K to detonate the space-time oscillation bomb and mix it all together, and that's the show I want to watch.
So the long and short of it...
That's the way to get the three pillars together.
The long and short of it is that Macross 2 could be a part of an overall continuum, and the good news is that it's in the same position as every other piece in the franchise. But the bad news is that they're all parallel worlds and there is no continuum.
That's not bad for me. I don't know. It's all just about the product.
It's bad
for the visibility, right? The availability of stuff, the accessibility of stuff.
Well, what's bad for me is the fact that as soon as I heard the words Macross 2 come out of Howard's mouth, I just facepalmed and looked down. Because I'm like, Tenjin, don't look at me. Just look at me. I didn't do it. I didn't ask him to do it. I swear to God. And I was on all the way over the other side, so Tenshi may have been looking at me, but Calmore was looking at you guys.
Yeah, I know.
I was
looking away too. I was looking away too.
He's walking back to the green room, going, "Who are those guys?
Who was that
I don't
guy?
Want
to... Who were those guys? And who was that French guy too? I want to know who that guy was because I think he's the guy that started it all.
So yeah. In the end, we didn't really get an answer, but I was surprised how he's now using the parallel worlds thing as an alternate way of describing...
I think you're reading too much into
it. ...what he's always said as they're all fiction within the universe. Now it's kind of like it's not even the universe. Now
I think he keeps track of his answers to those questions. I think he's got more pressing matters to... I think he just answers those questions on the fly.
Think Ishtar keeps him awake at night. He's like, what can I do with this piece of...
But he's never seen Macross 2, so he doesn't know who Ishtar is.
That's right. I don't think he would announce to the world the day after he saw it. I'm sure he's seen it.
I'm sure he'd tweet it. Yeah.
So I saw Macross 2. Sucks.
Does he call this music?
You don't know the first thing about it.
All right.
Let's digress.
So, that's pretty much it for the trip to the cockpit, in my opinion, unless there was... And then there was a long and arduous trip back, and you going straight to...
Well, no, there was... After that, there was... talk show ended, and Kalmori... Tenjin walked Kalmori around the exhibit.
Right.
And everyone followed him. And then they went...
But no photos.
No photos. They went to the actual cockpit, did a photo op.
No photos. Yeah.
But Kalmori put on the resin shoulder pads. Took photos of that.
He sat in the cockpit.
Sat in the cockpit.
And he
big old smile on his face.
Yeah, he looked like a kid in the candy store. So. He was really...
And then when
Tenjin
nobody was...
Tenjin did the signing.
Yeah. Everyone lined up to get in Tenjin signing, Kalmori went and signed all the toys again.
Right.
He went and tagged everything. And all of a sudden, everyone had all the Valks. Nobody was buying Valks that day at all. Because they had the renewal Alto just came out.
Right.
The second issue. The Mihail was there. The 171. And all of them sold out with the Mihail. With the signature, too. Because it was like the culture. Like, really? Shoji Kalmori. There was one left. And kind of people picked it up.
It's Mihail.
Put it back. Like, I saw like five people pick
but,
it up.
But again, why Mihail? I mean, if it was Luca, I'd understand.
I'm sorry, Luca.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, God.
No Luca. Lucas were long gone back then. There was the Mihail. The Luca.
No, wait.
Mihail was gone.
It's
the
late.
Luca was gone.
Let me clarify.
Why there were no Luca. We want the blue one. I like the blue one. I like the red one, mummy. This is like you're talking about the like canonicity and stuff. We're not at that level,
I'm
man.
Still thinking,
we're
I'm
trying
sorry.
To differentiate colors here.
Hey, every time we do a podcast, I'm thinking Ishtar. Okay, but
Ishtar.
Yeah,
Ishtar.
Yeah. So they didn't have any Mihails because they didn't reissue that one yet. But there was only the second issue of the Alto. The 171s were out. The regular cannon fodder color, not the EX, and the Lucas. And it was the Luca one that, even with the signature, just kept coming off the shelf and putting right back on. So
yeah, it's Luca.
So the signing. Oh, so the signing.
So the signing.
So, fight when
so everyone lines up for the signing. And everyone's lined up, and I still have my signing ticket because the other guy had a ticket, so I still get to go to the signing.
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden, we're online, and Howard, this guy walks up to Howard, and Howard goes, "Hey, this is the guy that owns the Firebomb Bar." And we're like, yeah, cool. I'm like, we're going to go to the signing? He's like, no, I can't get here that early morning. I didn't get a ticket. It's sold out. Here, tear the ticket. Take my ticket. Go buy the Max. Go put it up in the Firebomb Bar. We're going to stop by there later tonight. He's like, oh, thank you. Yeah. And I figured I'd get a free drink out of it when we go to the Firebomb Bar.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
I didn't even get a free drink out of it.
Break in here when I got up to Tenjin and he signed my two pictures. He spoke to me in absolutely perfect English. So good job, Adrian.
Yay!
So afterwards, we did go to the Firebomb Bar.
Mm.
Oh no, we went to the Marui.
Oh,
right. Yes,
that was so great. I completely forgot we went there. They had the Alto display. Matsuri, yeah.
Alto Festival. Alto was bad.
It was like very small, wasn't it?
It was really tiny, and all it basically was is we have all these items. We have three new items, and everything else is all this leftover stuff from all the other Oshare Macross exhibits.
But this ties in with the Cheryl birthday thing, because they also had a place for well-wishers for Alto's birthday.
Right.
They gave them little... like star-shaped post-its,
right.
And everyone could write their birthday wishes for Alto. And the wall really was completely covered.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
But it was, like, in the bottom... It wasn't, like, Mario 1 version, where it's in a really... The girls' building of, like, a fashion clothing... It was in the bottom basement.
Mm-hmm.
Connected and it was
to
a booth.
Yeah, connected to the subway. And it's just constant traffic. And all the display cases... It just looked like... Like the after Christmas outlet area.
Yeah.
It was like, we're just getting rid of this.
I did get a Macross Crossover Live
Pamphlet, right?
Pamphlet.
That's the thing,
I hadn't gotten it.
They had Crossover Live pamphlets, they had Music Culture pamphlets.
Right.
They had FB7 pamphlets.
They had Music Culture t-shirts.
They just all the runoff from the 30th anniversary.
With
kind of got
one
dumped.
New picture of Alto throwing a paper airplane.
Yes, while wearing like big a yukata or something.
No, he was just wearing a tank top.
Was he?
Oh. Yeah.
And the...
Cookies. The cookies when you...
The cookies. The one thing that actually didn't show up for that, I can't say who or where, but the scene where Alto ejects from the 29 in the last movie, there's a illustration by Tengen.
Yeah,
that was
going
to be made into a 3D lenticular poster like his previous two.
Right.
And the Cheryl poster.
Right.
There was problems with the production of it. It didn't actually go to production. They made a few samples, and because of the way Alto would be layered,
mm-hmm.
it didn't look 3D enough. Or there, it was just off. So
right. That's a tough angle.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it didn't make it.
The most interesting thing about that was that we had to go to a through an area called Whitey City.
Whitey Town.
Yes.
The Alto... Festival was pretty much a wash, in my opinion. It was just not worth it.
No.
But I do have to... Before we get onto the Firebomb Bar, we did manage to resolve something. Like, did... was the movie version and Blu-ray version of The Wings of Farewell changed at all?
No, it was not. We have confirmed.
Really?
We confirmed it.
Told you.
We had a look at the theatrical version. And yeah, it's the same.
Really?
So this is the third podcast we've brought it up. We've actually sat down.
But I wasn't concerned about that one. I'm concerned about the first one. Did they change the Chogokin?
I believe they did. I think you're right on that one. Because the original...
It was an aquarium.
I think it was an aquarium.
And they changed it to the YF-29.
They changed it to the...
YF-25.
It was the proper seat.
God damn it, every time.
The only other change to that was, in the theatrical version, the Chogokin toys were hand-drawn, and then the Blu-ray release, or the DVD, the 3D models.
Okay. So, either way, Richard, we clarified that, made a point, so I'm sorry.
Thank God.
But
you're
insane.
Thank you, yes. Okay.
Thank you. His anime ski account will now be deactivated if he's a liar.
So, Firebomb Bar, now we went to the Firebomb Bar. Renato, you've been before.
Yeah, I went, I don't know when I went, but I went before you guys anyway.
I know.
Well,
did you make it where you were?
I did. The day after.
Right, Captain Planet, powers combined, we've all been through something.
Wow, okay.
Just not at the same time.
Well, I mean, if we all went at once, we all wouldn't be able to fit in there.
No.
It's very tiny, very tiny.
So who wants to give a explanation of what the Firebomb Bar is?
It's a...
hole in the wall?
it's not a hole in the wall, it's a hole on the sixth floor. The location kind of sucks.
I don't know if I'm trying to interrupt you. All I want to say is, keep in mind that in Tokyo, we're lucky. We've had frontier events at Queen Dolce, restaurants... a lot of events.
Yeah.
Chinese restaurants do the Genga Ramen. But there's never been, like, in Tokyo, just a Macross cafe owned by somebody and privately owned. It's always just been a 1 week thing or a 1 month thing at the longest. And they've got, you know, official support from Big West, since Big West is making glasses or they're making stuff to give away to people. The difference with Firebomb Bar, it's somebody that's a big fan who, you know, he's paying rent and he's putting this place out in Osaka for fans, and a lot of and other people from Fukuyama's been there.
And it's not his day job.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's just a hobby.
A hobby.
His day job, he's a bartender at a hotel.
Yeah, I think. So on just
he said
on
he works at a hotel. He didn't mention it to me. So just on a pure level
of that's fucking the coolest shit, that is probably the coolest shit someone's ever done.
But there's also other bars. Like, example, there's the JoJo bar here in Tokyo that's fan
JoJo
fan.
Is way bigger than Macross, though.
But yeah, that's like. But I'm just saying it's true. But I'm just saying that there are small fan-run establishments in different, especially, and it's really fun, like, especially just to go to those,
I mean, this is almost on the level of opening up a Dorvac little tiny store, you know?
Since you didn't let me finish, I was going to say,
I want you to restart. I didn't mean just go ahead and restart.
It's on the sixth floor, so it's not really a hole in the wall, it's a hole in the sixth floor. Right next to some kind of, like, AKB48 themed bar. But it looks like an apartment building. But you walk in, and it's a small place, but there is Macross everywhere. CDs, books.
The pillows were really cute.
Pillows.
I have one of those.
They're cute.
Just notebooks full of line art and original scripts. I don't know how he got that stuff. Figures, everything. I mean, it was amazing.
It was filled to the brim, and like there's this long, like kind of like, would you call it a booth or a half booth? Like that long.
It's basically like a hostess club.
Kind of, yeah.
Like a tiny snack, like a hostess snack.
Right. Yeah.
And they've got, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the table.
Yeah. The sunken table,
yeah.
Like, so they've got the bar itself, and then opposite they've got one little booth, which would fit maybe, what, 8-10 people?
Yeah. Wow. Well, no, at the max.
And
that's it. I mean, you fit, what, 6-7 people in the bar?
Yeah. I went into the bathroom, and there was, like, stickers everywhere, and there was a Goobaba sticker staring right at me, and it was like, I never thought I'd meet myself
in the bathroom.
In the toilet. The drinks were amazing.
When you get in the door, there's a little cabinet on your right with all this old merchandise.
Right.
Yeah, they've got the VHS tapes, they've got the Valkyrie toys,
The upholstery of the tables and stuff is, the seats is all red.
Yeah.
They've got lights around the place in, you know, red and yellow for Firebomber. And what got me was the majority of stuff on display
is from the
90s. Is from fans, from fellow fans. It was donated to show and display. I mean, I'm sure there's the very base core of the merchandise was began from his collection, but
like that signed Tengen picture of the illustration of Max Genus from the event that happened earlier that day.
He was
donated by me.
He was lucky to get that. Yeah. fans keep bringing stuff in for him, and he's got pictures like of Fukuyama and his band there at the counter.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And again, I've got plenty of pictures and stuff we'll put up at some point. But it's tiny, and we didn't. I want to know what Cassie and Renato think of the place, because we were exhausted. We'd done an overnight bus, we'd been up all day, and we didn't pick the best day to go.
Right.
Because there was an event on that day.
Well, yeah, I was exhausted too. I went with my wife, and we met the two Howards there. I had gone to Kansai. I'm saying Kansai because I went to Kobe and to Osaka. Kobe is not in Kansai. Well,
you should have gone to Hyogo while you're at it, but anyway.
I was in Hyogo. So I went I think I went to Nagoya and Kobe and Osaka just for work. I had lots of things to do. And so I said, since I'm passing by Osaka, I'll stop by the bar this night. And I got in touch with the two Howards fairly early on and said, look, this is the night. This is the only night I can make it. And I might be really late. I'm sorry. So can you just meet me there? And so when I arrived, which was probably like 9 p.m. or something, they were already there. And I just said, look, I can only stay maximum 1 hour. Miriam 1 hour. Good name for you. So the bar, I was so tired that I didn't really take in the whole picture, you know. I was seeing things. There's so much stuff packed
into the ceiling almost.
Yeah,
like,
and like even just when you walk in, that cabinet that you're talking about, there's so much things that I only noticed
some of them when I was leaving. Yeah, because right. You walk in and then you have to walk around it when you're on the bar. So I was sitting at the bar, and you know, Okamoto-san, he's the owner. I'm like, hey, I made it. Hey, man, sorry. And then I was under the impression that it was just you order your drink and that's it. And maybe you have a seat charge. But when I spoke to him, because I met the owner before, he had come to an event in Tokyo. And I had been introduced to him by a friend. They said, this is the guy who runs the Fireball Bar. And I was like, oh, cool. And for some reason, he knew me already. Yeah, I've been wanting to meet you. And I was like, okay.
Jesus. Normally, I get the opposite reaction from people when I...
Yeah. I know. It surprised me too.
Did you try the food?
This is the thing. He said to me that there was no charge. That there was no seat charge when I met him.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then when I went to the bar, he said, okay, we have a system. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they were like, you can pay this amount of money and do this thing. And I was really out of it. I was so dead tired. I hadn't had a proper dinner. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever the cheapest option is. Like I said, I was only going to be there half an hour, maximum 1 hour. Right. 1 hour. And so, no, I didn't try the food. I had one drink. My wife had one drink and maybe only had half of it because she was completely knackered. Yeah. And so I don't really know what it was like, but it... From looking at the menu, it seemed like it was pretty standard stuff.
Well,
the drinks were Firebomber themed.
Right.
In name.
Well, I had the Baswar curry with the sound booster, and
wait, what?
You didn't give you the menu. The Baswar curry, you can get like this like chili sauce added to it. It's called the sound booster.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it was really good, actually.
Okay.
Wow. That's what I got, and I got water.
Well, when we went, it was whose birthday?
Chie's
birthday. So it was an event. You had to pay a set fee. Yeah. It was what, 2,000 yen? 2,500, something like that.
I had to pay a seat charge. It was something. Oh, I can't remember, but yeah, it was.
And they gave you know bits and pieces of finger food,
which we
weren't hungry. We were there. We just wanted to order a couple of drinks, and you couldn't go into the place without paying this charge for the event. Everyone there was doled out food. So it wasn't, given what we're in the mood for, it wasn't the best timing for us to be there. But plus, the bar counter was filled up. So it was because I was hoping to talk to the owner a bit more and, you know, get some, you know.
Well, so we sat at the table first, and then the bar
just filled up before we could talk to anyone. So suddenly it's like complete split. We've got the Guai Lao table, and then and then the bar with all the locals, you know. So I it's the kind of place I would like to hang out and talk to people and meet people at if it was local, but as a tourist it's a little bit tough. I think you get a lot more out of it if you're a local.
I had
definitely. It pisses me off that they started it after I moved out of Kansai.
I'm really surprised we don't have anything in Tokyo given how much
I always thought that whole Shinsaibashi area was really, really unique in that sense. If you had it over here, it would be probably Roppongi, and it's not really the same.
No, why would it be Roppongi?
Because that's the closest thing to Shinsaibashi that they have, really.
You don't have to copy it. You just do it.
No, I'm saying this is what. No, Shinsaibashi is the type of area where these
hole in the
stores
wall
would just pop up. Right. You know? Pop! It's just a pop! Like Kanayoko.
So they had two main dishes you could order, which were either the Baswar curry or the gubaba rice. I got the gubaba rice. It did indeed taste like gubaba. Space Mouse.
All right.
Well, I sat at the table and I was sitting there next to the pillows. Had some waifu action because I actually went by myself because I heard pictures in the past and I just wanted to go. And I sat at the table, and actually I didn't get to speak very much to the owner because he was in and out. It was pretty slow at the time, but I thought the Baswar curry was okay.
Should have gotten that then.
Yeah, with the sound booster.
Mm. But really, I'm not going to get the Baswar curry. I'm going to go.
I mean, how were the drinks since I did not have the drinks?
The drinks were amazing.
But wait, what if you put the sound booster onto the gubaba?
That would be a mess.
I want them to animate that. Anyway, sorry.
So yeah, I had the Heart and Soul.
I had that, I think.
Yeah, so which was really, really good. It was like, what was in there? Grapefruit juice?
I don't know. I don't remember it being that good. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying it was bad, but it wasn't memorable enough.
Okay, see, I thought it was great.
Okay. Well, I was really tired.
I was too. I hadn't slept the night before. And we were going to go back by bus in a couple hours,
Did you guys write or draw anything in the notebooks?
I wrote something.
What did you write?
I don't remember. Is it private? No, I don't remember. I took a picture of your picture. I think I may have said that, actually.
Oh, cool.
So I think... Oh, they also had all those copies of a lot of lineup.
Yes, they did.
Which was really good.
And the scripts.
Yeah. So you could look at... These were all in, like, A4 folders. And you could sit down and look at them. Pretty good. Yeah. So overall, look, I think I would have enjoyed it more as a local, but it was an okay experience. And I always seem to do these lightning trips to Osaka.
Yes, yes.
Like, I'm down there for, like, one day only or one night only.
You
I never have time
night
to...
Fine.
Yeah. Mm. So...
I want to go back. So.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'd like to go back, too.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go!
We had to get on a bus in less than, like, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't going back.
And we didn't know where the bus was leaving from for a while.
Gwen spent, like, an hour...
Trying to find the bus
hour
stop.
Number two, trying to find where we're going to get on the bus.
To get back
I will be saving up for the Shinkansen.
I think I might join you.
When we got back, I had to get on the train to go to Makuhari to go to Wonderfest.
Right.
So
that was the bulk of our activities. I mean, that was all the big events, but a couple of smaller things have popped up since then. Of course, there was another Oshare Macross, which was kind of Halloween-themed, which was kind of cool. But apart from that, as mentioned previously, the 1-to-1 VF-25 popped up down in Minato Mirai near Yokohama. For
Minmay's hometown.
Right. For I think it was a month or so, was it? And we popped down on the very last day, Adrian, and had a look at it. And it was the same 25 that was at Ikebukuro Hall, right? With a few minor changes. It was a promotional tool this time. So they had signs everywhere saying, please subscribe to Wowow, was it? Or whatever cable channel.
Wow.
Yeah, Wowow. So... And if you subscribe to WowWow, you could get a picture in the hand of the Valk. It's like, but we got to do this just at the event before. Why would I want to subscribe to WowWow? If you subscribe to WowWow, you could also get, you know, one of these really cool clear files.
No, it was a pencil board.
Oh, it was a pencil board? That's right. And it had that sketch of the Valk breaking off the armor parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, the really detailed one. And some people won the Bandai kit from memory, right? That new Bandai kit. But either way, it was the Valk, and around the corner they had the 1-to-1 Minmay up again. From what I heard, I talked to some of the staff there, and they had a fair few people come along and were interested in it, and we hung out there for a bit, saw the passers-by, and people seemed to recognize Macross as being Macross. But, there was really not much to report. There was the same Valk.
Yeah, I was just in the big walkway from one station to another, and it was kind of cool. A Ronka cosplayer, some kind of photo shoot was going on.
Yeah, I think it was just for a cosplay magazine, and a Ranka turned up with a film crew. You can't go anywhere without Rankers popping up. I mean, it's like Stray Cats or something.
And they let her get in the palm of the Valkyrie.
They did indeed.
But no, it wouldn't let us in there now.
Right. But we looked at it, took some pictures. It was good. I was glad they got some more use out of it.
There for a good 40 minutes, and then we took off.
Yeah. So that was that. And then finally there was another Macross Con of sorts. But this was something a little different. There was a official fan club event called MacCon, Macross Con, and it was actually partly a singles dating event. It was held by Machikon, and Machikon are quite well known for doing Gorkon, or singles parties, here in Japan. And they and the Macross promotional guys teamed up to do what was ostensibly a meetup for Macross fans to meet Macross fans. There was a disclaimer on the website, this is not a singles party. But they did what they normally do, which is they rent out about 5 bars in a 1 or 2 block radius. And it's basically a bar crawl. You get a wristband and you go to all these bars and you try to find someone to talk to, because everyone in these bars is enrolled for the same thing as you. And the bars were done up with, you know, Macross posters and some Macross themed drinks. A lot of food. I was actually pretty impressed at that. And it was 3 hours, and I noticed halfway through that, yeah, they had a lot of girls there as well, Macross fans, apparently, mostly Frontier fans. And people were treating it pretty much like a regular singles party at some point. And at the end of it, though, everyone got together in the one location, and they had a pre-recorded message by iEndo, which was nice. And they had a couple of people in those really weird the costumes with the doll heads.
Oh, yeah.
They had, like, Aranka, Aminmay, and a Cheryl together, and people were, like, freaking out. But, yeah, number one Macross fan was there. The normal old school fans we know turned up. I'm like, so what'd you guys think? And they're like, well, we're not really here for the singles part of it. We're just here to, you know, do the stamp rally and to hear the Aya Endo message and, you know.
I love those guys when they go for the stamp rallies, because it's kind of like picking the bones off the dead carcass, because they're only going to get something, and the stuff normal people would want, they just, like, give it to you.
Stamp rally? Yeah. Or girls? Which do you like?
Yeah. Exactly. So the stamp rally was, if you went to most of the bars, you get stamps. Mm. And then when you go to the final venue where they did the closing ceremony for it, they'd pull, yeah, you could have one draw out of a lucky dip. And I got the worst thing, which is, like, it was a set of badges, you know, can badges. There are a couple of really big prizes on offer, like some very rare Ichiban Kuji stuff. But yeah, no, normal people I know turned up to that. But no, I met a couple of interesting people, but it was just so quick. People were just lightning rounding at going around to all these bars, and about 3 people I really wanted to keep in touch with, and we didn't even have time to. For some reason, line wasn't working, so we couldn't get contact information before someone else jumped in and this table swapped around. But yeah, it was interesting. And yeah, the bar we went, the first bar was an 82 Ale House, which is a pretty big, you know, chain store here for English beers. And they were playing Firebomber music. They had some episodes of Frontier playing. They had Macross crossover posters up on the walls. So yeah, people are like, you're around to all the venues, get the stamps, meet some girls. I'm sitting in a bar surrounded by Firebomber. I just want to stay here. Anyone want to talk to me, tell them. I mean, I was the only foreigner there, of course. I was like, if anyone wants to come, tell them to come to Basement, drink my beer. And it's like, they had pineapple beer. I'm like, you do realize we shouldn't be drinking pineapple beer at a Macross event? I'm sure they're aware. But yeah, no, it was fun. You got a wristband and, you know, saw some cool old posters up in bars, met some people.
But I couldn't go because I was already in the U.S.
Right.
Because I went there for the other Macross.
Because you were escorting Tenshin to a whole bunch of places.
Hey, I'm not an escort.
But this is going to be a topic for another podcast.
Yes.
Government shutdown. Tenshin couldn't see what he wanted to.
Oh, yes. There's a bit of story behind there. But we had a good time for the going to Macross WorldCon. And we're going to give you...
We're going to talk about that next time.
Yeah.
All right.
Just Adrian and I.
Sounds
if,
good.
If you enjoy the comic tones. Comic stylings of Gwyn or Renato...
I'm 100% serious about everything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nobody's sitting there throwing the Hyogo hammer on us or anything like that. We'll be able to talk freely.
We can talk freely about going to Los Angeles County.
Yeah.
Well, some people look forward to. But look, it's been a long cast, and thank you everyone who's still listening.
What would you do with the bottle of baby oil and bikini's thighs? How about that?
Oh, slide down them, of course. Are you talking about... Oh, man.
I have no idea what people are talking about, which means it's time for us to follow it out. So we'll see you guys next Deculture.
Woo!
Bye!
Next week, you'll learn the secret. Oh, yeah. Didn't feel like going down that road.